Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more.
Let's start with the positives. The Astros win again. They're 10-1 in their last 11. You know, they finished the month of June with the best record in baseball, continued that to start off July. Hunter Brown, I mean, he wasn't, I don't know if I can use the word vintage Hunter Brown, but he wasn't at his very best as far as strikeouts to walks and all that stuff. But hey, he gets through that game, gives you another quality start. He has been a pleasant surprise considering where he started. And now we're just expecting these type of performances. And people have dug deep, and it doesn't take that much. Just look at the schedule and his starts to see that he isn't going against the best competition in baseball, but you need someone to beat up on the minnows, and that's what Hunter Brown has done. So if he's going to perform that way, I don't care who he's pitching against. He's getting it done, and the Astros win. They're now a couple games above 500. The Mariners did not play yesterday, so they're three games back as we're now beyond the climb to 500. We're trying to chase down the leaders in the AL West, and the unfortunate part about it is I have to balance me wanting the Astros to win with not wanting John to be right. John Granato very loudly proclaimed that the Astros would lead the division by the end of July. And this was at 10 games. And you can't really take him seriously. He just says stuff. He says stupid stuff. That's what he does. But this one, unfortunately, yet fortunately, is something that may be reality. You know what I'm looking for, Sean, to be honest with you? I'm looking for them to be within a game of first at the end of July and not get there. But the inevitable, we know is going to happen, that they're going to take over and win. But I don't need him to be right. I'm not looking for that.
Okay. You want him to be
wrong, but
a game within first,
yeah,
on October or August 1st. August 2nd.
Yes.
August. Just give yourself some breathing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, August 1st is enough. But yeah, sure.
It depends if it's a Monday, you know.
I gotcha. But either way, yeah, I don't need them to be in first by the time we come back to work that day.
But if August 1st is a Sunday and then on the 2nd they're in first, he's still going to take the victory lap.
He probably will. So, because it would be the next day we were at work. So I need it to be a work day in August, early in August, where they're not in first place. I will take that and run with it. But my personal bias, my personal wants and needs aside, the team has been playing great. During their stretch of 10-1 their last 11, they have a batting average over 300 at 301. So the bats have come together. They didn't have a great day yesterday. Jeremy Pena hit the home run to give them the lead, and they went on to win 3-1. So nothing but positives for the Astros right now, outside of the overarching injury concerns regarding this team. But they seem to have been able to overcome that. You just have to hope by the time maybe the wear and tear on some of these pitchers begins to show. I don't know if that was what happened to Blanco. We know we can point to Fromber and his, let's say, lack of mental toughness. We can point to that as why he didn't have a good start in New York. But the overall concern is these guys are going to reach points that they've never reached before, and can they hold up? And then you hope the cavalry eventually shows up, whether that be Luis Garcia or one Justin Verlander. But hey, the current roster, the ones who are on the club and playing, all credit to them because they fought through a lot. And not self-doubt. I wouldn't use self-doubt. I think the mechanism of baseball, and because of how long it is, it allows people to always consider, hey, all it takes is another day for us to turn around. We got plenty of time. So I don't think there was ever really any self-doubt. And, you know, all the winning plays a part in that too. But just a routine 3-1 win in the afternoon. They'll play the Blue Jays today as well. So the Astros living up to their preseason hype, even though we did do it. We did talk about that article where not many people thought this was, at least compared to what we've seen as far as predictions in years past, that this was going to be a World Series team. They thought they would win the division, make the playoffs, but there was some question about whether they would make the World Series, and that's still up for debate. They're as good as they've been. It's late June, and it's early July, excuse me, and they're 2 games above 500. So, but we'll take it. We'll take it compared to what they were, and we'll take Hunter Brown still being a guy who we can depend on for quality start after quality start. And Jeremy Pena gave him some credit, says he prepares really well, and he's a good guy. Couldn't happen to a better guy. And he goes out there and competes.
Against the worst teams in the league.
See, Mr. Negative here. We're going to get to negativity shortly. I mean, I was going to try to stay away from it. I'm full of negativity regarding a different club, but I was going to allow the joy, or at least the contentment with what the Astros are doing, to maybe dominate the first. Yeah, give everyone some flowers in the first segment, because I feel like the rest of the show, it's not like I can't believe what happened last night. It's just,
I think we talked like specifically about
how happened. This would go down. I think I'm more perturbed by the reaction to it. Like, hey, dummies, no one saw this coming. I know a lot of people only watch the Americans when a big tournament happens. You're not watching the Nations League or even the Gold Cup or in some friendly. So you don't know when it's on. You barely pay attention. I get it. Copa America's a big deal. Argentina's in the country. Colombia's here. Brazil's here. I get it. The clubs you've heard of are in the country playing a major tournament. Now you're paying attention. But the conversations about frankly, what blows my mind is we rarely hold players in different sports to this standard. Like, hey, if you just tried harder, things would go better. Like, Americans have this belief, and even some of the former American players, that they talk about how, hey, where's playing for the crest? And hey, maybe there's some lack of belief in or lack of care about playing for the country, because you know some of these guys don't reside in this country, like, or maybe they weren't born here and all that type of stuff. Not that you don't have a monopoly on playing hard. Everyone plays hard. The Uruguayans play hard. The Brazilians play hard. The Argentinians play hard. You're not just going to simply win because you play harder than someone else. I hate that commentary. It bothers me so much because that's what America's based their whole soccer playing culture on. We just play hard. You know, we may not be the most skilled, but we're going to play hard. We're going to outwork people. That's not a thing. You're not going to outwork the Uruguayans in this sport. And they're going to do things that are going to bother you. And we saw it happen last night. The problem is, and we don't hold, like I said, we don't hold other people to the standard in different sports in this country. We don't talk about guys not playing hard when we know the coach stinks. It's always get rid of the coach, change how the guys play, and then we can have a conversation about who should be there or not. And it starts ahead of Berhalter, above him, from the Federation on down. But if we're going to have a real conversation, it all begins and ends with the guy on the touchline. That's all. If we're not starting there, I don't want to have a conversation with you. And I know it's kind of weird. You do the show. You should want to have conversations. But it drives me crazy, man. How come they didn't play harder? I mean, play for, like, Lawless, maybe not yesterday, because he knew where he needed to lean into. But we hear this from former players. A lot of commentaries about the players and how they're not giving it their all. Cut it out. You think anyone out there was not trying their best? When you're outmatched tactically and this starts in training, this starts way before the tournament itself, you're cooked. And frankly, losing to Uruguay 1-0 ain't an embarrassment, ain't a shame. You're there because you lost to Panama for no reason. Well, Timothy Weah, you can't exclude him. He screwed up. He screwed up clearly. But the U.S. has had players collect red cards in matches before that they shouldn't have any reason to collect. Sergiño Dest, who wasn't available because of a injury, he did that in the Nations League, I believe. Or was it the Gold Cup? Either one. I think it was the Nations League. He did that. And Timothy Weah was like, you know what, Sergiño, I like what you did there. I'm going to do it too.
Give me some of that.
Give me some of that. So the conversations can be had about we're not good enough athletically, and it popped up again from 7 to 10, Sean. What if our best athletes were playing the sport? How would we do? It always becomes that conversation, and it's been going on since at least 2010, at least. If our best athletes played, we would be one of the best soccer-playing countries in the world. And everyone scoffs at us when we say that. They laugh at us, and rightfully so, because the problem for America isn't athletically. You go pound for pound. We're as athletic as others. Now, you want to, I guess, overwhelm everyone with athleticism because the skill level isn't there? Go ahead and try it. Go ahead. It's not going to work. I don't care if you got five-star corners to decide to go play soccer instead of football. Someone's got to teach them how to play the game. Someone's got to teach them how to understand it. And until that becomes a bigger deal in America, we're going to have these issues. And frankly, this team that's currently on that just finished up against Uruguay is talented enough to get out of the group and make a relatively deep run in this tournament, particularly because it's at home. Anyone who watches knows the problem. It's that Greg over there with 3 G's, and then the people who hired him who might make another mistake, even if they do fire him. Thomas, I see you. We'll talk U.S. soccer. I'm less bothered by what happened because I knew this was going to happen. Anyone who watched them lose to Panama knew they weren't going to get a result against Uruguay. Greg ain't got it in him. Some people have one more in him. Well, I guess Greg did have one more in him, one more failure in him. But the conversations that stem from it, and they're the repeat of all the conversations we always have. And, you know, I got to imagine this is how people who love the WNBA feel when people talk about their sport in an inane way where they have no real knowledge of it. They just, you know, they come in because of Clark, or in this case, they come in because it's a major tournament. And then we have discussions that aren't based in reality. Yeah, you know what? Sure. If we could convince Russell Westbrook at the age of 8 to play soccer, maybe we would be better. But that's not the reality of the situation. That's not the reality of this country. So can we please stop having that conversation? Because you're not going to convince everyone who is a better athlete to come play. That's not how it is. It's over. That's never going to happen. So maybe have a conversation about what can actually improve the soccer playing product as opposed to the fantasy of, well, we're America, our best athletes would win. I think we've all figured out our best athletes have decided we don't want to play that sport. And now I need to take a breath. I don't like getting fired up about something I knew was going to happen. I should have known these same conversations were going to happen, and it was going to piss me off.
Weston McKennie doesn't have that dog in him.
Okay.
That's my takeaway.
He can play for Juventus.
Yeah.
But he can't. He don't have that dog in him.
Yeah, keep that in Italy.
Yeah. Where was
not an Arrowhead Stadium.
Where was the no dog in him when he was winning gold? All of a sudden, he's got no dog in him. But when he's leading the team to Gold Cups and Nations Cup, Nation League titles, we didn't hear about no dog in him. Perhaps the team led by Bielsa, who wasn't around because he got suspended, perhaps that team, tactically set up by Bielsa, outmatched the team set up by Berhalter. Ain't got no, God, I hate the no, they don't play hard enough. Okay. Thomas, Lazy J, talk to you when we get back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
Next.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We're back. I calmed myself by watching at least a couple minutes of EA College Football's Dynasty Deep Dive, and I bring that up because we're going to talk about what now may be a potential curse. If you're featured in the game, maybe things won't go your way. We have a story out of Stillwater we'll get to a little bit later. But let's talk first to Thomas. He wants to talk about U.S. soccer. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, Dal. Awesome show. I'm the same with you. I had mediocre loop temp expectations for the team. I expected to get out of group stage as a second place team and maybe a competitive game against a top team and losing the knockout rounds. But I mean, this is just embarrassing. You lose to, and I know you get red carded, but you lose to Panama. Who, imagine the conversations that they're having. You know, we're some underdogs. We're gritty. We beat America. We may not have the talent, but we rose up to the occasion and all that kind of stuff. Why can't we have those conversations? Why can't we have those conversations beating Uruguay and stuff like that? Because we got this incompetent Baldy who plays favorites, who wants to choose just mediocre players over players with talent because he has an ego. He doesn't want anyone to step up to him. He's just incompetent. He just needs to be gone. And the problem is, until we start having conversations like this where we're critical of our, soccer federation and of these teams, we're not getting in there. We're still playing, some war with, if we had better athletes. Ooh. No, we got players that play around the world in competitive leagues that are top class, maybe not, the elite of the elite, but they play in top classes. And this is just, I'm just tired of it. So I'll probably just go watch, something. But, I'll hang up and listen.
Hey, we have a segment specifically for that. If you just want to go watch something, 11:30 on Friday, which won't be the case this week because, holiday weekend. Yeah, it's almost like letting them off the hook. Look, we're never going to be a country that holds people we don't even know their names to account. Like, most people don't know the people in the Soccer Federation unless they issue a statement talking about how bad their performance was like they did last night. So the conversations always drift into what you might have in the month during the summer. Like we have our Mount Rushmore conversations, who's the GOAT conversations. Then, hey, wouldn't America be great if all our best athletes played soccer? That's the level of conversation that's the type of conversation that is. Well, if Jaylen Waddle decided from a young age here in Houston that he wanted to play soccer instead, how good would we be? Well, that's never going to happen, so let's move on.
Imagine if a Min Thompson play, or both Thompsons.
What if the Thompson twins...
One at right back, one at left back.
What if the Thompson twins decided to play soccer instead of basketball? How good would we be? You know what, Sean? You know what we should do? We should do a top 23, all those 26 players in this tournament. Find our 26 best American athletes and put them at positions on the soccer field and see how they would do in a tournament. In fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get FIFA 24, buy it, edit players to the attributes of LeBron and Waddle and Tyreek Hill and
John Morant
and put them on the field together and see how they would show out in ultimate team. That's the level of conversation that is. Can we stop talking about it in that fashion? Divorce yourself from that conversation. It ain't ever going to happen. And the problems go far beyond we're not athletic enough.
Christian McCaffrey as a CDM.
There it is. Who could be our number eight? Jeez. I gotta breathe.
Austin Reeves.
No. We got Austin Reeves at home. We got enough of those. According to some people. Lazy J. Fan of El Tri, and I said he could call back and respond after. I forgot who went after him yesterday. I said he had to wait till today to call back. So if you want to respond, you're more than welcome to right now.
Damn, man, I thought we was brothers, man. 7+ years of listening to the show, man, and You gonna let some fat boy Eric rebuttal yesterday, but I can't call in and get my little 2 cents
out? You can rebuttal right now. No challenge. Do what you want.
Okay. Yeah. He's over there talking about delusional tree fans and all that, and I don't know, soccer. Man, shut your fat ass up. The only soccer you know is on FIFA, bro, on probably creating your player and crap. You know what I'm saying? You probably played a soccer game in your life, bro. Talking about, and then, USA, all of a sudden now it's the coach's fault.
It's
and all this
fault.
And that, acting like Panama's not a good team.
No, they're not.
Man, y'all need to stop it with that,
They're
bro.
Not a good team.
Come on.
Lazy J, if El Tree lost to Panama on a group stage, what would you say?
Panama's a good team? What are you talking about?
They're not a good team. They're not
bro.
A good team. Stop it. They're not.
Stop.
They're fine.
Stop.
They're fine. They
stop.
Are. They look, they know what
no,
they're
I'm
about.
Not saying, I'm not saying that they're a great team, but y'all over here put it up that the loss of Panama was like the Astros losing to the worst team in baseball. Like, that's how y'all are doing.
Well, I don't know who
Panama, y'all got to give a little bit more credit.
Yeah, I don't know who you're talking to. I know who you're talking to.
I'm not even a Panamanian fan.
I don't know who you're talking to in that regard, but as far as this show's concerned, Panama is fine. They've made a World Cup relatively recently, I believe.
Okay.
They are they're okay.
With the whole Eric thing right quick, and I'll let go. The whole Eric, he's probably Hispanic, so he's probably hating on the Mexican team, so he's probably a Salvadorian, a Salvi. So, you know, Selecta, they ain't won crap in years. So, you know, shut your fat ass up.
Oh,
and I'm 10 minutes from the show. So, you know, we can have a 1v1, you know, soccer, any type of sport, fat boy. Call in. I know you're listening. Love the show, Dale.
Thank you. I don't know if Eric is a fat boy. I don't know if what he said is really derogatory, but I'm not going to use his shortening of El Salvador. It didn't sound complimentary, what he said.
Nothing really sounded complimentary.
No, well, yeah, he wasn't very polite.
Except Panama. Panama was.
He didn't like, yeah, well, was Panama was Panama. The foil to make fun of the U.S. He goes, yeah, well, whatever. He used Panama he complimented them to tell Americans to stop being so stupid. So I don't know how much we can give credit to Panama. At least according to Lazy J. Look.
And to all the El Salvadorian listeners, the views
of Lazy J.
Lazy J do not reflect that of Gal Media or ESPN.
No. That word he used, I'm not sure what it was. I just know it didn't sound good, so I won't say it. I mean.
Same here. Good call.
I mean, frankly.
Executive or a show decision. We will not.
I imagine it has the same type of connotation of when people shorten the word Pakistan to direct a slur at people from Pakistan. That's what it sounded like. I'm not sure, but it felt that way. So I'm not going to say it. I'd ask that you not say it anymore. You can call him a fat ass if you want. I mean, but there is a line. And what you said, I feel like crosses the line. We'll do. I'm going to do my research, but I'm pretty sure you shouldn't have said that.
I'm pretty sure Google's going to be like,
Do you want to use your incognito window to search this? Are you sure
great.
About that?
That'd be great if they would like stop you. They're like, we recommend incognito.
Yes, for this.
You don't want to six months from now start typing something with the same first three letters and then this pop up
in a public forum and people can see what you've looked at in the past. So yeah, the passions are high. El Tree is out. The US are out. CONCACAF is going to be represented by Canada, who is managed by by a guy who wanted to be the coach of the U.S. national team, Jesse March, and said he wasn't treated very respectfully when he was up for that job before they brought back Berhalter and Panama, who beat Bolivia yesterday 3-1, and their game ended before the U.S. So they're in Orlando watching it on one of the big screens and saw as that game came to an end. I would advise Panama you guys could have went in, showered. No, you knew what was going to happen. You didn't have to watch it happen. You should have known what was going to happen.
Speaking of scoreboard watching, did you see Greg Berhalter?
Yes, that happened and people caught it. I don't think anyone asked him about it during the post game presser. But if you missed it, right before Uruguay scored the goal to put them up 1-0 or 1-0, Berhalter seen doing 1-1 with his both his index fingers. And it appears he's telling his squad the score of the game going on in Orlando between Bolivia and Panama. Some people are shooting him some bail and saying maybe he's actually just telling them we're going to do man-to-man marking. But the belief by the general public is he's telling them the score. And people are saying, what do you mean? Why are you telling them the score? Just go out and try to win the game. There's 30 minutes left in this game. Why are you telling everyone the score? and obviously the Uruguayans score right afterwards. So it just highlights, if he's telling them to score, it just highlights some of the ineptitude. I don't know. He could have been just going, hey, we're doing man-to-man marking or whatever signal he might have for that. But it does appear he's telling them to score, and then Uruguay scores, and that was the end of the ball game for the most part. So surely we will take more calls about soccer if you want. If you want to call a person who called you out the day before a fat ass, I guess we're open to that too. La Salsa, I see you. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. And remember, if you're having issues listening, you can listen to the station on 97.9 HD2. That is clear and crisp, no static. We know some of you have had issues of taking your calls, but there is an option for you if that is a problem for you right now. And obviously, the stream, YouTube/ESPN Houston, there are options. And, of course, the app as well. So, La Salsa, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. I imagine it'll be more about something else than what it says up there, which is the Astros. We'll talk to you and anyone else when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
We're back. 713-780-3776 is the number to talk to us, myself or Sean. And you can tweet us at Delvey2 at Sean A. Mapes as well. Let's get to La Salsa. He wants to talk about the Astros.
Hey, what's up? Good morning, fellas. Hashtag the people stand with Brahezy. Hashtag pay the man. I want to see the Astros, man. I'm liking them returning back to form. The Astros being the Astros. But Lady J, you can shut your fat ass up. I'm from El Salvador, S.A. You don't know football. You know nothing about football. Also, what do you think about Sarah Michelle Gellar? That's about it.
Before I get to Buffy, how do we feel about this clearly white man doing what he did, Sean? Do we stop this going forward? I mean, we've already allowed the La Salsa thing, but do we allow the rest of it?
I don't love it. I don't love the road we're going down.
No, I don't really like it. Like, La Salsa, okay, whatever. But you're one accent away from catching a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're getting close.
I think SA, if SA comes back up, automatic 1 week suspension.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to allow the name, but keep it within the lines. That's what we're looking for. We already got the other reference from Lazy J. And he called back, by the way.
Yeah, he called back to clarify.
And said that is not derogatory. He said he's married to an El Salvadoran woman. The question is, does he ever call her that? Let's find out, really, if he could get away with that. So, as far as Sarah Michelle Gellar, I imagine he's asking about her OnlyFans potential. Unlikely. She's still an active actress. We may not see her in things that we watch now. But she was like she played a detective in like a Teen Wolf spinoff series a couple years ago now. Unlikely. I'm going to put that at 0.02% for that Sarah Michelle Gellar.
She played a detective before, too.
Well, Buffy was kind of a detective.
Well, also, wasn't she Daphne in the live-action Scooby-Doo movies?
In the sequel as well.
They're detectives.
They were.
Unofficial.
I would have got away with it, too. Her and her husband were in that movie.
Freddie Prinze?
Yep.
Wow.
You didn't know they were together?
No. I just appreciate the art, Del.
Did you like Scrappy Doo? Or were you a big...
I was never a big Scrappy Doo fan.
Scrappy was a tryhard.
It was
clearly
a bit much.
Yeah,
even as a kid, I was like, this is a bit much.
All right, buddy. Relax. I'll take one talking dog.
This is ridiculous.
And at least that one's humorous. You're a little aggressive. Like in real life, everyone would take take Scrappy back to the, I don't know if we call it the pound anymore, but they Scrappy Doo would not be someone who would get a forever home.
No, we call them rescues now. I have realized that the word the pound,
it's not a thing anymore.
People don't talk about
what the is pound. It called?
Animal shelter?
Yeah, the shelter.
They softened it a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, it used to be the pound. Scrappy Doo would immediately get, he would not be at like one of those foster fails where someone like, I love this dog, I got to keep him. Scrappy would get sent right back to the shelter. You're too much, buddy. We're not looking for that from you. Speaking of someone who can be a little too much, let's get to Eric Wong. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Del. Great show as usual. That was a travesty yesterday, last night against the U.S. soccer team. That's why nobody likes FIFA. They're corrupt. They're so corrupt. They're getting paid. They're getting paid and bought out. How do you feel about that?
Are you accusing the referee of calls against the U.S.? Is that what you're doing? I would say...
Well, didn't you see it? Did you watch the game?
I would say he was not built for it. I think it was his first Copa America game ever. He was clearly a person who was overwhelmed. If you missed it, some of the things he did, beyond giving Tyler Adams, one of the U.S. players, a yellow card after Tyler Adams was the one who got stepped on, he also was going to give another U.S. player a yellow card, rightfully so. Chris Richards stopped the break with a foul. While he was pulling out the card, the Uruguayans wanted to get going. So, you know, a quick free kick and got them going towards the goal. And as he's pulling up the card, that usually means we're going to stop play. We're going to settle things down. He pulled up the card and then said, play on, which is something I've never seen before and the U.S. players have never seen before. Christian Pulisic couldn't believe it. He talked about it after the game. And there's a moment that's going viral because of how it's
edited. Well, he didn't shake his hand?
Yeah, it's going viral because of how it was edited. But seconds before, if you're watching the live broadcast of the game, Christian Pulisic is pretty much intimating that the referee should go celebrate the Uruguayans because he's in the pockets of them. So he does that first.
Well, he is.
Well, then I would imagine I'm not going to shake your hand if you've just accused me of being a dirty ref. Sorry, but all
he is a dirty ref. Well, everybody knows that.
It doesn't matter. It's a Coma Bowl event, so maybe he is corrupt. The South Americans.
You probably watched that movie FIFA, The Goal Begins or The Goal Dream, did you?
No, I did not. I would say I don't care if I am dirty. You know what I'm not going to do? If you're going to publicly out me as being dirty, I'm not going to shake your hand. Sorry, I know people, oh, just show some respect. All right, show me the respect of not accusing me of being dirty. So I don't care about him not shaking Pulisic's hand. Who cares? Frankly, I'm a U.S. soccer fan. I'm never going to remember that ref again. And frankly, even if they don't, even if he doesn't give, you know, even if that goal didn't count, the U.S. didn't create enough chances for me to be upset about the referee. By the way, don't
even Abigail Dye was upset.
I don't care about Abigail Dye. That's your thing. Eric can call back at a different time. Now you got me upset again. I don't care about what happened in the Uruguay game, to be honest with you. You lost to Panama. That was the opportunity. You beat Panama. The Uruguay game is for bleeps and giggles. It doesn't matter what happens. Maybe you finish in first. Maybe you finish in second. But you lost to a CONCACAF opponent in America, and it cost you. The Uruguay thing is for, oh, they didn't step up when it mattered most. Who thought they were winning that game? The history of Greg Berhalter will tell you there was no way. The point was to make that game not consequential, and they lost to Panama, and they made it the most important game in Berhalter's tenure, and surprisingly, or not surprisingly, he failed. Just beat Panama. And all this would be like funny. Oh, the referee was cheating us. Who cares? Who cares? You're in the quarterfinals. But instead, the Panamanians go out and put it on Bolivia, and they get to go to the quarterfinals. All right. Got to relax again. Of course, Abigail Dye had to make an appearance very late in the conversation because of Eric. Time to breathe. We will take more calls if you so choose. I will try not to yell at you. But I can't say I won't yell about the topic of conversation. Also, the Rockets bring back a guard that many people thought era was over. We'll talk about that. Apparently, the guy had an era, and it's not over yet because he's going to be brought back. We can talk about the possible implications of that when we come back and after I've calmed down.
ESPN 97.5.
97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Welcome back. Before we get to Jerry, he wants to talk a little U.S. soccer too. Let's get to what we mentioned before. Aaron Holiday, Rockets guard, is back. He was a guy Ime depended on. He's another guy in the guard rotation. It's a very crowded one right now. How many minutes will he get? I don't know if that's actually all that important. It's another salary that can be used in a trade if they so choose. They have a couple of those where they can throw him in. They can throw Jayshon Tate in, who they've brought back. Hey, you want to put Jeff Green in a trade? Sure. Londell, you want to put in a trade? Sure. These are all guys that can be used as filler to make a move work. They're not going to be the primary piece of a trade. And depending on who the Rockets are trading for, the primary piece may simply be draft picks. But if you need to make salaries work, you're going to probably use a young player that you don't want to send away just because the other team's going to want some of your prospects. And if you're trading for a star player, it has to hurt a little bit. It kind of has to hurt. So it'll be someone you don't want to get rid of, a couple contracts you don't mind getting rid of, and some picks. So you have these guys to use if you want to make a trade. Aaron Holiday signs or he will sign a 2-year deal for $10 million. So your Rockets bring back one of their depth pieces at guard. Now you have the likes of Reed Sheppard. We know Fred VanVleet, Jalen Green, Cam Whitmore. There's a lot of minutes, or at least a lot of guys who want minutes. Just not sure how that's all going to work because all of these guys at one point or another, because of injuries, played minutes for the Rockets. It's very hard to say important minutes outside of the month of March. But they did play minutes that meant something to the Rockets, at least.
Yeah, I just hope Rockets fans, when they saw the report that the Aaron Holiday era was likely to be over, I hope they didn't like throw away their jerseys or
their zero jerseys.
Burn the jersey.
Do you think a lot of people, when Aaron Holiday was signed, they saw what number he was going to wear, put some tape over their Westbrook Rocket jerseys, yeah, and then wrote Holiday on it?
Yeah, probably. Probably.
That feels likely, doesn't
or,
it?
Or Aaron Brooks. Their Aaron Brooks
yeah,
jersey.
Yeah, maybe that too. Maybe. So Aaron Holiday, keep those jerseys. You don't have to throw them away. Or go out and buy one because he's signed for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe don't. If things go well, Reed Sheppard kind of takes all of his minutes.
But maybe you want to be one of those ironic Rocket fans
okay,
who wears a jersey of for a player who rarely plays.
And Lord knows there wasn't enough opportunities for that person to load up on jerseys the last couple of years.
Yeah, but
there wasn't enough. weren't enough terrible Rockets
maybe,
players.
Maybe, well, hey, Holiday's not a terrible player. He's just not a player you're going to depend on.
There are enough terrible jerseys to buy.
Hey, if you want to buy an H-Town City version of a Holiday jersey, more power to you. In fact, I suggest you should buy that jersey.
It'll go well with your powder blue Christian Wood jersey that you have.
Yeah, the Christian Wood hype and love. I never got
the wow factor.
Turned out I was yeah.
Wood Oladipo Wood, Wall.
Yeah, Wood Oladipo and Wall. People are like, when those three play together, look how good the Rockets are.
Look at the record.
Okay. Yes, Christian Wood's going to be a member of a big three that's going to do anything. They were made aware of how stupid that thought was very quickly. Everywhere Christian Wood goes, everyone's at some point tantalized by the talent. Big guy who can shoot, can move a little bit. I know he don't play very much defense, but look how talented he is. And then they actually get a taste of Christian Wood over like a 30-game span. They're like, oof. can we get him out of the rotation, please?
Yeah, all of the teams that he's on independently come to the idea of like, oh, wait, this is why
he was so available.
This is why he's been so available, and he's been on like eight teams in 9 years of his career.
Yeah, Christian Wood belongs in like Detroit. You know,
he's already been there.
He should go back. Oh. He just hangs out there, gets his jumpers up, you know, puts some numbers. Detroit or some other unserious franchise.
Charlotte.
That works too.
Just so he can, yeah, because he can't go to
go
the
to
same
Washington.
Place
can
twice.
He go to Washington?
Oh, actually. Washington, yeah. And him and Valanciunas
we're
together.
One,
him, Valanciunas, Kuzma. I mean, look at this.
We're one Atlanta trade of Trey Young away from Atlanta being a pretty good spot for him, too. But they don't have their pick, so I don't know why they would trade Trey Young. They all belong to the Spurs, so they might want to try to win some games. Jerry wants to talk U.S. soccer. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, Jerry. I mean, my bad. Hey, Dale. I love the show. Real quick on my thoughts on the U.S. game. Look, it's simple. It's just the mentality of Berhalter. You know, you're at home. I mean, I get it. It's a tournament you're hosting, but you're at home in Kansas City. It doesn't matter who you play. You're supposed to win those games. I get Uruguay is a very good squad, but it's win or go home. I mean, the fact that Bolivia tied it up, and you can tell right away they threw themselves back 11 behind the ball just to play the next 25 minutes defending. That's sad. That's sad on the mentality of the players. That's sad on the mentality of the coaching staff. And you were supposed to win it no matter what. Don't depend on Bolivia, who's probably the weakest squad in this whole tournament, to give you a favor. Yeah. And it's bad because, you know, it's sad. And the 2026, man, they got to change it in 2 years. Whether it's the coaching staff, whether it's the development of the players, they got to change something quick because it's coming before you know it. All right, thank you.
Appreciate it, Jerry. Yeah, the development of the players, I don't know how much more can be done. Maybe you find a couple guys who aren't part of the regular rotating of guys to get into a camp. But like Jerry told you, it's quick. So the only thing you can do is get rid of Berhalter and really honestly hand the entire operation over to whoever you hire. And that only comes if they go after a big name. And Rob Stone, to one of the other Jerry's points, was watching. He said he was watching the Bolivia-Panama game more than he was watching the U.S. game while he was back in studio because he knew the U.S. wasn't going to be able to get the job done. He had to hope that Bolivia would get it done. And he spoke to how ridiculous that is, considering Bolivia. Jerry speaks to how embarrassing it was. The U.S. had hosted 19 intercontinental tournaments, whether it be Gold Cup or Nations League or World Cup, and they had never, in Copa America, they had hosted one before, too, recently. They had never not gotten out of the group. They were 19 for 19 getting out of the group when they were hosting one of these type of tournaments. And you know what? You can say one thing about Greg with 3 G's. Historic. It was historic last night not getting out of the group because no U.S. coach had ever accomplished that feat before when hosting a tournament. And, of course, we know the World Cup's in a couple years, now less than 2 years officially. And the program is in flux. And the question is, do we have any faith in these people to make two major moves? And probably more. But the two on the surface would be dropping Berhalter and hiring a guy who can get this team right for what should be a celebration of U.S. soccer. We shouldn't be going into that tournament dreading what's going to happen.
Is there any way that we won't?
If they hire someone that we're confident in.
Okay.
Like if they went out and hired, I mean, people bring up Jurgen Klopp because he's available. People brought up Pep because he likes spending time here. Like if they pushed all the chips in the middle of the table and go, we're getting one of those guys. People would be excited. People wouldn't be dreading it.
Realistically.
Well, Klopp is available. I don't know if he wants to coach a national team. I don't know how we would be stealing Pep as where we are as a federation. I'm not part of that disaster. But the federation, I don't know how we're stealing Pep from Man City. But at least Klopp has no job. So he might do it. But even then, you'd have to convince him that the federation wouldn't get in the way. They would give him free run to do what he wanted. And is anyone in that building willing to say, you know what, we don't know as much as we think we do. Let's get out of the way and let this guy run it because we are out of options. Or are they going to repeat all the same mistakes? I know where I'm betting.
That's why I don't really view it as
we're probably going to hire some American guy who's coaching him an MLS team or something.
I was going to say.
Or maybe they hire, like, Greg Berhalter's second in command, the guy who was running the interim. He was the interim coach while Berhalter was doing whatever the hell he was doing, getting ready to come back. It well, feels it like an, it's going to be one of those hires.
It was an extensive, whatever.
Reintegration? Sure.
Reintegration and reevaluation, review of what went wrong or what went right in the 2022 World Cup that led them to hire the same guy. After like
whose contract they let run out.
And don't worry, they did use a search firm to scour the world.
We as college football fans know what a search firm means.
I think that's honestly why I don't have any expectations whatsoever for U.S. soccer with the powers that be and the Federation having power. It's like, yeah, you can come out here and say, what if they hire Jurgen Klopp? What if they hire Pep Guardiola? You know those two guys are smart guys that could have any job in soccer in the world. They don't want to work for these jabronis.
No.
Not even with.
Yes.
They don't want to work for these losers.
If they could be convinced that these guys would get the hell out of the way, maybe, but we know that's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, and then you need to have them, you have to have the Federation decide, you know what,
maybe we should get the hell out of the way.
They're not going to decide
No.
The other guys aren't going to.
We should be asking, what if they hired the San Jose Earthquakes head coach?
I was going to say, that's they're going to get the LAFC head coach.
Yeah, that's what we should be asking, if he's American born. If he's not, then forget about it. That's the other thing we have to take into account.
Does Christian Pulisic's dad coach soccer? Can we hire him?
I don't know. That's the other thing. Hey, American born, someone we like. These are the things we're looking for. Not the best person
related
for the job.
To someone who
used to. Well, yeah, Berhalter's brother was part of the reason he got hired in the first place.
Be related to someone on the 1994 team.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What is it? Does Eric Winaldo have a brother who wants to coach?
Yeah,
John Harkes. So yeah,
Lexi Law's gonna walk in. I have a cousin. All right.
You know that guy who they always show in the stands? He's actually related to me. That's not even a wig. You think it's a wig, but it's not. He's my cousin. So, desperate times. And they get even more desperate as the hours go by. And Triple G Greg still has his job. Huh. All right. We'll get to hour two. Some Texans stuff to get to. Danielle Hunter was a point of conversation for Will Anderson when he was on Rich Eisen. D'Amico Ryans talks about what next season means and how it really doesn't have anything to do with this past season. So we'll get to that. We'll continue to take your calls, 713-780-3776. And we'll also get to a possible curse when it comes to EA college football. We have our first athlete featured in the game running into trouble with the law. We'll talk about that and more in the second hour. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Telerhetic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, rechalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.